Please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and to chapter 6. Matthew and chapter 6. We'll read together from verse 6 through to 8. Matthew 6 from verse 6 through to 8. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. 2 weeks ago, I introduced the subject of prayer. And in regard to it, we have seen that prayer, more than anything else, is sharing the needs and the burdens and the hungers of our hearts with a God who is our Father and who therefore cares for us and delights to hear from us. He delights to hear us pray in the same way that an earthly father delights to hear his children speak to him. Prayer is communion with God our Father. It isn't so much about getting things from our Father. Of course, he does give us things. But it isn't so much about getting things from him. It isn't so much about forcing God to do something for us. It isn't so much about wrestling with his reluctance and getting him into the mood of wanting to bless us. It is about communing with him. It is about opening our soul to him. As Luther said, prayer is much more God instructing us than it is God being instructed by us. Prayer is saying, "Oh God, I come to you with the needs of my heart, with the burdens of my heart, with the pains of my heart, with the desires of my heart. Display your glory." And so often, he displays his glory by answering our prayers. This morning, I would like us to reflect on private prayer. And to do this, we will reflect on the passages of Scripture I have already drawn your attention to. And particularly, of course, on verse 6, which spells out the need for private prayer. But you, our Lord says, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There are three things I believe the Lord is teaching us in that text related to private prayer. The first is this: it should be done in your room behind a closed door. It should be done in your room behind a closed door. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. What are we to understand by the fact that it should be done in your room, behind a closed door? Well, we mean, first of all, that it shouldn't be done in the full view or hearing of men. It shouldn't be done in the full view of men. It shouldn't be done in the hearing of other men. It's private prayer. This is the exact opposite of what the Pharisees used to do. The Pharisees stood in the synagogue and on street corners for the purpose of being seen by men. And I think it's important for us to point out that what was the problem was not so much that they stood in the synagogue. Well, that is how they prayed as Jews. They stood. That isn't what was the problem. I even want to suggest that standing on the corners of the streets, even that is not so much what was the problem. You can't stay, rather stand on a street corner and pray to yourself. And there wouldn't be anything wrong with that. The problem was that they wanted to be seen by men. So I would imagine that they went to those places on street corners that were most visible to men, because the purpose was to be seen. When they stood in the synagogue, the purpose was to be seen. So they must have done it in such a way that they drew attention to themselves. That was the problem. Well, some do pray in secret. They are alone on that street corner. Perhaps they are even alone in their room. But they pray so loudly that everyone knows that someone is in there praying. So you can be in your room. But if you pray loudly so men can hear you, that's no longer private prayer. That's no longer secret prayer. The problem is drawing attention to men. And our Lord's point is that men must be shut out. If your prayer is intended to be private or secret, you must shut out those that have no business listening in to your prayers. But you, when you pray, go into your room. Don't leave your door ajar. Shut it. When you have shut your door, then pray to your Father. So it shouldn't be done in full view or hearing of men. Secondly, to pray in your room behind a closed door, it should also be understood to mean that it should be done, and I'll use a Latin term, I do it not to show off, but because you may come across it. You may have come across it and you didn't know what it meant. It should be done coram Deo. I'll spell it. C-O-R-A-M, Deo, D-E-O. It should be done Coram Deo. This phrase, Coram Deo, refers to something that takes place in the face of God, or in the presence of God. To pray Coram Deo is to pray in the presence of God, under the authority of God, and to the glory of God. What does Jesus say? But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Three things being emphasized. When we pray Coram Deo, when we have a Coram Deo encounter, the first is that it is to pray in the presence of God, in the face of God, which means that we are to understand that whatever we are doing and wherever we are doing it, we are acting under the gaze of God. There is no place so remote that we can escape the penetrating eye of God. Wherever we are, He is there. He may be invisible, but He is. It is in the nature of God to be invisible. And if I may say it reverently, even if we were to take His nature and put it under a microscope, we wouldn't see anything. Because God by nature is invisible. He may be invisible. And He may transcend space. The Bible says He is the uncontained. He cannot be held by space. But that doesn't mean He is absent from space. He is not absent. He is present in every space. Every space. He is present in the secret place. That place that you have set aside in your house, where you regularly go to pray, to spend time alone with God. He is there. And He reads the secrets of your hearts. He hears the pronouncements of your lips. He is there. He sees you. You may not see Him, but He sees you. You may not hear Him audibly, but He hears you. And this is the point our Lord is making. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And we should be grateful that God sees in secret, and that He is in secret. Because no matter what you tell God, He never tells anybody. I can share something with someone, and you know how we do it, just between you and I. And I share something with you, just between you and I. And I mean to say, I'm going to tell you something which you shouldn't share with anybody else. Just between you and I. But more often than not, you talk just between yourselves, but not before very long, you hear it from someone else, someone you didn't share with. They can't keep a confidence. They can't keep a secret. And when you hear it from someone else, often what you decide is, all right, so I know I cannot trust this man or this woman to keep a confidence. I'll never open up to them again. Communication is broken. Intimate fellowship is broken. Well, men will disappoint us, won't they? But this God, who is in the secret place, when you unburden yourself before Him, He will not tell it to anyone else. You can pour your heart out, you can share your griefs with Him, you can unburden anything before Him, and it remains a secret. It is to pray in the presence of God. That's to pray Coram Deo. But secondly, to pray Coram Deo is to pray with integrity. Integrity is to live in such a way as to be consistent. What I am out there is what I am out here. How I think and speak and live out there in the world is how I live here at church. I don't live a double life. I display a pattern of consistency. To come with integrity before God is to be ourselves, to be real, to be unlike what the Pharisees were doing. How were the Pharisees praying? In a hypocritical manner. In verse 5, the Lord says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. The hypocrite is not himself. He is an actor. The Lord is saying you mustn't pray like that. You must be real. You must be yourself. To be a hypocrite in the eyes of God, before the face of God, is nauseating. This God sees what you are thinking. He sees what you are doing in secret. He knows what your attitudes and intentions are. He knows that. And then you come before Him and start pretending to be what you are not. You do what the hypocrites do out there. They act, they put up a show, they give the impression of being holy and godly, so men may see them and praise them. And you come before a holy God and pretend in that way? That is an insult. It's an insult to God. He knows you. He sees you. How can you pretend before Him? The Lord Jesus therefore calls you to pray with integrity in in the sight of this God. Listen to what Robert Murray McChain said on this matter. What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. What a man is on his knees before God, that he is, and nothing more. If before God you can't be real, out there you won't be real. You'll be a hypocrite. You'll be living a lie. What you are on your knees before God, that you are, and nothing more. To pray Coram Deo is to pray with the recognition, in the third place, that there is no higher goal, even in prayer, than to honor God. There is no higher goal than to honor God. The problem with the Pharisees is that they sought to honor themselves. They sought to impress men. So they prayed for men. They prayed for their own name. They were more concerned about themselves than they were about the God they pretended to be praying to. When we pray Coram Deo in the face of God, with the recognition that we are before God, He sees us, He knows what we do, He knows what we think, we will have but one goal: to please Him. To please Him. To honor Him. Is that how you pray when you are before God? And when the purpose is to please God, you will be burdened about the need to pray as this God would have you pray. Even as you pray to Him, you will be under the tutelage of a conscience that is held captive by the Word of God. You will be concerned, in other words, to pray according to the will of God. According to the way of God. How can you come before God and pray sinfully and do it with impunity? You must be ignorant of the kind of God you are coming before. But if you know the kind of God you are praying to, you will do it to His honor. The point is that when you pray in secret, whether that means going into your room, or being in your closet, it might even be being in a public place, in the community of believers, in the assembly of the church. It might be while you are driving your car, or while you are at the office, or while you are walking along a street. It may even be there. Wherever it is, the point is, it shouldn't be a display. It shouldn't be a display. But what the Lord encourages at this point is private prayer. Go into your room and pray.
pray privately. Second, private prayer should not only be done in your room behind a closed door. Secondly, it should involve real prayer. Real prayer. And there are three things I want to say about real prayer, true prayer. The first is that it is not ostentatious. It is not ostentatious. To be ostentatious, we have already hinted at this, is to display your religious performance. In this case, it is to display your prayers. And to display your prayers in a way that is meant to attract attention, to attract admiration, or perhaps to attract envy. And so often we can be guilty of that. There are those among us who have the gift of prayer. We don't struggle to pray publicly, for example, and to pray well. Nothing wrong with that. But if we pray for a show, if we pray to attract attention, if we pray to be admired, however Calvinistically sounding your prayer might be, it stinks in the nostrils of God. It is not ostentatious. The Pharisees were fond of this. For them, times of prayer became times when they could parade their piety, when they could parade their prayers. Is that what you do? I remember when I was a college student, we used to have zealous Christian students. They were genuinely zealous. But more often than not, they were guilty of ostentation. Because they wanted to be known to be prayer warriors. So they were alone in their rooms. It's 3 a.m. You know, we want to sleep. You know, we had been studying up to 24 hours. So we want to sleep. And 3 a.m. he wakes up and is praying on top of his voice. As if God couldn't hear him. If he wasn't at the crest of his voice. That's ostentation. And real prayer, true prayer, is not ostentatious. Secondly, it does not consist in vain repetitions. It does not consist in vain repetitions. Verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. This was the pagan approach to prayer. Just to keep repeating themselves until God gets weary. Weary of hearing what they are saying. So that he just gives them what they want. You know, he is tired of hearing their repetitions, and so he just gives them what he wants, what they want. Like the prophets of Baal did. Oh Baal, hear us. Oh Baal, hear us. Oh Baal, hear us. Hour after hour after hour after hour, they are mumbling these vain repetitions, which often meant nothing, to wear God out, so he can give them what they want.
God is a reasonable person. You don't have to keep repeating vain words before him as if he didn't think, as if he didn't want or wasn't interested in reasonable conversation. You don't shout at him as if he spends half his time sleeping and he needs to be woken up by your shouts. You don't have to multiply meaningless words as if God didn't understand what you were trying to say. Listen to what Martin Luther said. The fewer the words, the better the prayer. To have prayed well is to have studied well. The fewer the words, the better the prayer. But we must hurry on. What is real prayer? It is three things. And I believe this is what the Lord is communicating in this verse. The first, it is praying with a devout heart. That is praying with a pure motive which seeks only the glory of God. What is the motive of the man who goes into his room, shuts his door? It is to seek God and God alone, to seek God's glory and God's glory alone. It is to bear himself before this God. That's true prayer. Let me quote another Puritan writer. He says, when you pray, and this is John Bunyan, when you pray, rather let your heart be without words than your words without heart. Rather let your heart be without words than your words be without heart. He is merely pointing out the terrible experience of praying to God without your heart, without meaning what you are saying, without feeling what you are saying, without any involvement. Real prayer is praying with a devout heart. Secondly, real prayer is praying with a humble heart, seeking only the attention of God, not of men. Seeking God's ear, seeking God's eye, humbling yourself before this God and before this God alone, and not minding men. And thirdly, it is praying with a confident heart. And this is important. Praying with a confident heart, knowing full well that God already knows all that you need. If God knows, then you can go to Him confidently, with childlike simplicity, in faith. You take yourself to Him as if to say, Lord, you already know. You already know what I need. Please help me. If you already know what I need, surely you can do this for me. Surely you can bless me in this way with confidence. With the knowledge that God is wise enough and knowledgeable enough to do what is best for us. And so we go to Him confidently. Is that how you go to God? When you go into that room, thirdly and lastly, private prayer. It should be motivated by the Father's promised reward. In verse 6b we read, go into your room, when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now it's interesting to note that when the Pharisees prayed with their ostentatious prayers, the Lord said about them that they had received their reward in full. In other words, they were looking for attention, they were looking for the praise of men. When men give them attention and praise them, that is all the reward they will receive. But you who prays in secret, you who goes into your room, God will reward you. If you pray to impress men, men will reward you. They will give you their praise. They will flatter you. But if you pray to please God, to honor God, God will reward you. And what will that reward look like? Well, the first reward is that He will hear you. If you are praying in such a way as to direct attention to men, men will hear you. God will not. God will not pay attention to your ostentatious prayer. But when your focus is God, God will hear you. God will unite your heart with His, and He will give you the sense that He is hearing you, that He is with you. And God, of course, will answer your prayers. He will give you your heart's desire. He will bless you abundantly. Listen to the words of another man called John Trapp. He says, God never denied that soul anything that went as far as heaven to ask for it. He never denied that soul that went as far as heaven to ask for whatever it is it desires. Never, never. God has never denied such a soul. He will give you and give you abundantly. You've no doubt heard about D.L. Moody. He was a great preacher. He lived about the same time as Charles Spurgeon. The Lord, in answer to his prayers, had answered so many of them. He felt overwhelmed, such that once he was forced to pray, "Stop, God, stop." God had blessed him so much that he couldn't contain it. And he had to pray, stop. Ever prayed like that? Stop. Have I had enough? And God can do it. Well, let me end in this way by saying two things. Private prayer demands that we go into our room. And I want you to notice that little word, go. That's the doing word. But you, when you pray, go. Go into your room. Your room won't come to you. You must go to it.
wherever that room is, wherever it might be, go to it. There are many things that will stand in your way, and if you are a true believer, you will probably testify to the fact that prayer is the most difficult thing you are called to do as a Christian. It's easy to read your Bible, but very difficult to go into that room. When you know you must be going, you begin to rationalize. Oh, but I'm not feeling too well. This would be dishonoring to the Lord for me to be praying in this condition. Now, I'll do it when I feel a bit better. I'm a little sleepy. I'm a little what? It's not convenient. And this doesn't just affect private prayer. Even corporate prayer. We rationalize. We have 101 reasons why we can't come to a prayer meeting. 201 reasons why you can't go into your closet and speak to your God every day. But Jesus says, go. Do you go, my friend? When did you last visit your closet? Do you go? Go! John Bunyan says, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. In the morning, your best time, you've just woken up, you're fresh, your mind is clear. You don't have any appointments. But you must be saying, oh, but I wake up at 7, and the moment I wake up, it's business. I have no time to pray. Well, wake up at 6. Go to bed at 8. Wake up at 5, so you can pray. If you don't find God in the morning, you won't find him the rest of the day. So many things will go wrong in your life in that day. You will say wrong things, you will do wrong things, you will be careless about this, that and the other, because you didn't start your day with God. Go to that room. I read a caption in a magazine called Today in the World, and it wrote about early African converts to Christianity, and it is said that they were very earnest and regular in private devotions. Each one reportedly had a separate spot in the bush where they would pour out their hearts to God. Over time, the paths that led to those spots became well worn. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to others, because grass would have quickly begun to cover their paths that led to those spots. And their friends would kindly remind the negligent one, brother, the grass grows on your path. That was a way of saying to them, you're not praying, brother. You're not going to your closet. The grass grows on your path. And I ask you this morning, that place where you kneel, has it worn out? Has it worn off? Or is mold growing there? Because you haven't been there for some time. That path, is it still worn out? Because you are often there. You are walking there. Or grass has grown on it. Well, make sure, my friend, from today, that that grass doesn't grow on it. Because you are constantly walking on it to your closet. And finally, when you have gone, shut the door. Make it as private as possible. And then pray to your Father who sees what is done in secret. Express your prayer, whatever they might be. Maybe you are not a Christian this morning. And you've never asked God to forgive you. Even you, if you go into that private room and plead with God, cry to Him, God, have mercy on me, a sinner, He will hear you. He will bless you. He will change your life. Go and do it. Go and do it. Don't continue. You who are Christians, don't continue to live like pagans. Because you suddenly have a beautiful, big job, you've stopped praying? Or you have a little bit of money and it's confusing you, you've stopped praying? You have so many more friends now, you need to entertain them, and you've stopped praying? Shame on you. Shame on you. Repent. Repent of that and go back to your closet. You say to yourself, oh, God is no longer in my life, and I fail to talk to Him. I fail to relate to Him. You know what happened? You lost your God in your closet. Go back there and find Him. Go back there. You will find Him. And it will be well with your soul again. In Jesus' name. Amen.